Wasn't sure how the preachers felt whenever they said at gospel meetings that they couldn't be able to preach this evening because they've been so full from the meal that they had at lunch. And now I feel their pain now because we just had a big dinner at Logan's Steakhouse since my birthday is tomorrow. And so I'm hurting. It's good to be with you all. It's good to be able to worship God with you all and be able to study His Word together and be able to come to a better knowledge of the truth as we look through His Scriptures. There's a lot of things that we worry about in this life. We worry about our futures, what we're going to do. We worry about our jobs, if we're going to be able to keep them or not. We worry about upcoming elections, especially now as we're seeing in 2 days there's going to be a voting day. We worry about that. We worry about if we're going to be able to pay the taxes on time. We worry about whether or not the Cubs will ever win the World Series. Me and my dad don't worry about that because Mom's the Cubs fan, not us. And Chase, are you still in school? Or I'm not sure. Okay, but for a few of us, a lot of us are worried about school as well. And specifically, right now is a busy time for me because we're working on the play for this upcoming week. And everyone backstage was freaking out this last week because nothing was getting done. And they were so worried about whether or not we're going to be able to do the play this week. And someone asked me, how do you stay so calm? And I told them, seriously, because I know that God's going to take care of me. And then a girl asked me after play practice, or she said after play practice, you know, that really did help me. It really calmed me down. And so I told her, why don't you turn over to Matthew 6 tonight and take a look at that chapter. And that's going to be the topic of our study this evening. It's going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We worry about all these different things, but God tells us, and Jesus tells us, that we don't need to worry about one single thing. So let's look over in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about the clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. These are things that we consider necessities. Our food, what we drink, what we put on for clothing, and what we have as our bodies. These are things that we see as necessities. But Jesus said, you don't have to worry about those things, because God will take care of you. No matter what it is that may be troubling us, we can be comforted in knowing that God is in control. and knowing that our treasure is in heaven, and knowing that heaven is our home. The title of this study is a title that I was kind of joking around with Dad about. It kind of sounds like the commercials you hear on TV. They tell you about a problem that you may have. Your dishwasher's breaking down. I don't even know. I don't watch TV that much. Whatever the problem may be, but the title of this study is, "But Not to Worry." God is in control, is our first point that we're going to be looking at. God is all-powerful. We all know that. He created all things, and we can see that in Colossians. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Colossians 1 and verse 16. "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Everything that we see in front of us was created by God, because God is all powerful. We remember over in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, "With God, nothing is impossible." You remember the story of Job and how he was ruined. His house was completely destroyed with his children inside of it. All of his animals and livestock were completely destroyed and killed. And yet, he had faith in God. If we look in Job 42, specifically in verse 2, he states, "I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Nothing is impossible for God. No matter what he wants to do, he can, and he will do it, because he desires to do it, and that it can help us. Nothing of his, none of his plans can be thwarted. If we see over back in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4 and verse 4. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." God is greater than each and every one of us. Even each and every one of us combined, even more than the whole world, he is greater than that. And as we can see over in 1 Peter 5 and around verses 8 through 10, he is even greater than our adversary, the devil. If you'd like to turn back there a couple of pages, 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And then it goes on to speak about that we need to be watchful of the devil. If we can be able to take all our anxiety and give it up to God, he's going to be able to lift us up, because we have humbled ourselves before him. Because God is in control. And he can be able to be more powerful than all of us, and even our adversary, the devil. And that should be a comfort to us. This is the same message that we hear over in Revelation. In the whole book of Revelation, it speaks about this. And in Revelation of how great God is. Revelation 19 and verse 6, it says, "Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." As some translations, the New King James Version translated, "The Omnipotent reigns." He is all-powerful, and we can give praise for that. why does he want to help us? If we look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And we'll read verse 31 and then drop down to 37. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Or as some translations say, more than conquerors. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is because of his love that he can put his hand over us and let us know that he is in control, because he loves us and he cares for us. So we need not to worry, because if God is for us, who can be against us? Though things may seem gloomy, though things may seem bleak, we must remember that God is in control. And we can take comfort from that and put our anxiety on God so that he can take control of our lives. The second point I want us to look at is that our treasure is in heaven. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, this book was written at the end of Solomon's life. And he was looking back on all the things that he had accomplished and all the things that he had done. And yet in verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, "Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Solomon had worked up all these great possessions. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. He had all these great riches. He had more gold and silver and built the greatest temple that had ever come about for the people of Israel. He built all these magnificent temples for other gods, but he still had that. And yet he says all those things that he had built up was in vain. They meant absolutely nothing. This world is filled with things that mean absolutely nothing. Those treasures that we store up, if you'd like to turn over in Luke chapter 12, those treasures we store up are foolish. Luke 12, we'll be looking at verses 16 through 21. And he, being Jesus, told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he says, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Just like Solomon, this man had built up many goods for himself, but they were all for nothing. For this man was a fool, because he wasn't looking to God. He only stored up treasures for himself on this earth. Let's look over in James chapter 5. James 5, and we'll be looking at the first three verses. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. These rich men had become so rich, and yet all those things that they had gained perished. All the things that we have in our life, this building that we're sitting in now, the houses we live in, all the money in the bank, is all going to be perished. It's all going to go away, and it's going to be for nothing. Money is, as we see in another verse, the root of all evil. And in Matthew 13, in verse 22, it says, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Money, wealth, cares and worries of this world can choke out our hearts, and they can turn us completely away from God. Because that is what happens when we put up treasures on this earth. So we'll look over in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, we'll be looking at verse 6 and verse 16. Verse 6, "Great wealth is in the house of the righteous, but trouble is in the income of the wicked." If we are righteous, we can be able to have great wealth someday. But if we are wicked, it's only going to bring about more trouble, more worry, and more sorrow. Verse 16, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it." It's better to be able to fear God and have absolutely nothing until later on than it is to be able to be completely wealthy and be a wicked fool, as we saw back in in Luke. There will be much treasure for those who are righteous, but here we should long for very little. Over in Matthew 13, in verse 44, you can see where we need to put our treasure. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." Our focus should be all on the kingdom of God. Our treasure, we should take all that we have, all our efforts, all that we have, and put it toward the kingdom of God. Because that is where our treasure should lay. Because that is how important the kingdom of heaven should be to us. Treasure in heaven is more important, and we should lay it there. Turn over to Matthew 19, please. Matthew 19 and verse 21. Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete," speaking to the rich young ruler, "go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." This rich young ruler had done all that was in the law, but he was missing one thing. He had all his treasure focused on his life here on earth, but it had nothing to do with being able to focus more on God, because he loved the money. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Money and wealth, cares of this world, worry, can take our hearts away from God so that we're not going to be able to focus on him. If we want to be able to not worry about anything here on earth, we need to lay our treasure in heaven. One more passage for this point. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's focus more on God and less on treasures and worries of this world. The last point that I want us to look at is that heaven is the home that we should be longing to have. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Our body is just a tent. You can raise your hand. Is there anyone here who's never been camping before in a tent? Lucky you. I don't know about you guys, but I've never been the camping type of person. It's fun to go every now and then with mom and dad and the family, but I've never been the type of person that just wants to go out and go camping and get in a tent and freeze all night. And that's kind of the same attitude we need to have with this tent right now. We're just in a tent. In a sense, you could say we're on vacation, waiting to go home. We should be longing for that home in heaven, because heaven is where everything that we have been laying our treasure in is going to be. Heaven is our home, and we must desire heaven more than the body and the earth that we are in now. We are searching for this home. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham was looking for the same home that we should be looking for now. Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10. By faith he, being Abraham, lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. We must be searching for this home, because it is the home that has foundation. We all know the story, and some of the little kids probably sing the songs in class. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Are we building up everything that we have on a weak foundation, on sand, of this tent that we are in, which will be destroyed? Or are we looking for that home with a hard foundation? Because the rains will come and the floods will rise, but heaven will never be destroyed. That is the home that we should be looking for. The home with solid foundation, built without hands by God. In John 14, we can see how special that this home will be. Because in John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus states, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." It is a special place where our home is going to be perfect, because it will be designed and it will be prepared for by the one who is perfect. We should be looking for that home. As you drive down the street, you see all these houses, and then in the middle of nowhere, there's this great big house that is beautiful to behold. And we wish that we could have that house for our own. Heaven is going to be the home where nothing, no imperishable thing, will be able to enter. That is the home that we should be longing for. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 54. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." While things here on earth will be destroyed and will perish, we will rise to a place where there is nothing that will be imperishable. We'll rise to a place where there will be a home for us without any spot or blemish. This is the place that we should long to be, because our bodies will be changed so that we can be able to enter this home. Another reason why we wish to be at this home is found in Revelation 7. Revelation 7 and verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, and all tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. We wish to be at this home because this is where the family of God is going to be. Home isn't much of a home if your family isn't there with you. We always are looking for a house, but are we actually looking for a place that can be able to be with our whole family? We need to long to be with our family, and that will make us long to be in heaven, our home. And the final, if not the most important reason why we wish to be in heaven is in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. 'Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord.' And then it says, 'Therefore comfort one another with these words.'" Heaven is going to be a wonderful place because our Lord and Savior, who bought us with His blood, is going to be there with us. And it should be a comfort to us. There should be no worry in our minds because we know that heaven is going to be our final destination. It doesn't matter what happens on this earth, because in heaven we're going to be home with our family and with our God. To finish all this off, we have a great God that we serve, who can do all things. And that should be a comfort to us. It should make us not want to or have to worry about anything that happens on this earth, because our God can do all things. We shouldn't have to worry on this world, because as the righteous people of God, we can have great treasures someday. However, we first have to go through this journey. We have to be in this tent so that we can be able to go home. And that should be a comfort to us as well. But all in all, why shouldn't we have to worry? Over in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If we're not looking for God, and if we're not looking for His kingdom, there will be a reason to worry, because our souls are in danger. But if we're looking to God, and if we're seeking after what He wants us to do, then we don't have to worry about a single thing. Because all these things that may be necessities here on earth will be added to us, and we won't have to worry. If there's anyone here who feels that they're not putting their full trust in God, if they seem to not believe that God has the ability to be able to save them, and you worry about things of this world, that's why we're here. We're the family of God.
wanting to help each other to be able to get home. But if you have not been baptized, and if you haven't sought after God's kingdom, now is the time to do so. Now is the time to be able to join us as we sing, to be able to come together as the family of God, and to be able to not worry, and to be able to know that someday we're going to be able to be with each other again in our heavenly home. If there's anyone in need for any reason, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.